Pushing boundaries. Pushing boundaries. I'm going to push some boundaries tonight.
Exactly. Let's push some boundaries.
We're talking about Hook's P word.
Can't even say it. We're not live yet.
My brother's right there. Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
Hey, how are you guys doing this week?
Great, and I'm very prepared for that question this time. So
I had a feeling you might be. I looked at these women and I said, wow, they look like they're ready to tell me how they're doing.
I was out in the sun on the 4th of July and I was a little bit sunburned. But don't worry, my skin has recovered. You asked me how I was.
That is such a specific answer,
Thank you.
I love that.
Thank you.
Did you peel at all?
No, I don't. Really, I'm not really a peeler. Like I have.
What?
I get like
a
weird red.
Question.
I don't know. It's just like right up the top at the top of the hour, like talking about peeling. No, you're right. It's good. It's good.
The people have to know.
Did you peel?
No. I'm not really a peeler. Like I flush like a weird red for a couple days and then it goes away.
Did you feel burn though? Because I like turn like red sensitive. And then I turn tan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you won't burn.
Yeah. We're in a good place. I would say my skins are good.
Good.
Okay. And did you put a little aloe on there?
Oh, no, just suffered.
No, just suffered.
Yeah.
Hey, that's great. That's cool. Anne, any sunburn to report on?
I had some on my nose and it was peeling a little bit. So, I mean, that's why I was interested. So, yeah, I keep forgetting to put sunscreen on. So that's
hey, it's summer.
My struggle.
Yeah.
This is the least natural pattern we've ever
done. I think it's pretty bad. Yeah. Y'all want to talk about wrestling? In the mood? You in the mood?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Hey. Last week on Rampage. Okay, so this is the Rampage that was filmed after the Blood and Guts Dynamite. So Tony had two rings that he was working with. I don't remember if in the past like what he's done about that, because this must have happened before when we had the one last year, but this year he came up with a new kind of like casino battle royale to do, where each ring was like running its own tournament, and then the winner in each ring would fight at the end for the prize, which was the right to have a title match with Jon Moxley. So it kind of a lot going on there. It was pretty chaotic. It was only 20 men. Don't you think it felt like more men?
Oh, yeah. It felt like so many men.
Kind of an infinity number of men. Just men kept coming in, and then they'd get between the rings. It was like going between subway cars with the two rings there. It looked very silly.
When I went to look it up, I was like, I'm going to find 40 names. Only 20. That's less than a casino battle royale, where they have 21. That's a fact. So the winner in one ring was Brody King, and the winner in the other was Darby Allin. And Brody King ended up death dangling Darby over the ropes. He got all choked out, and he won, which I was a little surprised by.
I was very surprised by that. It was like, well, title challenge with Mox, there's not a lot of suspense about who's going to win, but...
Well, especially, like, he just got that belt, so we're not taking it off
him.
He's
not taking it off him.
I know, yeah. But even beyond that, it's like, Brody King's not going to win. Like,
right, well, it's also one of those things where it's like, Brody King has only stood behind Malakai Black so far, so, like,
yeah.
When I saw that he was going to be in the Battle Royale, I was like, ah, he's just, you know, filler for whoever wins, so it was like... Oh,
just like a little cannon fodder, red shirt.
Did you guys watch that little clip of Darby like talking to him after the match?
I don't think I did. No,
I guess I saw it on Twitter. I guess they like if you were there in person, like there was a whole thing where like Darby was being like, "You really proved that you deserve to be here because of how you knocked me out." Like it's like a very funny little thing where he's like clearly like talking him up. Which actually was quite sweet. because he did have a little bit of a kind of bewildered expression on his face, like, oh, this small boy that I choked out is telling me I'm good at choking. That's cool.
That is a little demeaning when you put it that way. It's like,
you did such a good job of choking me out. You definitely deserve to choke out anybody in the whole company. Okay. It was a little chaotic, but there was some very fun stuff going on in there. Anyone want to hit us with the highlights?
I loved John Silver and Hangman doing their little bits. Cute. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I got faked out by the first one when Hangman almost threw John Silver out. And then when he was like, ha, just joking. And then the second time around, I was like, these goofs, they're big goofs.
I know. It was so cute. It's nice to see them like actually interacting too, since there's been kind of that storyline has gotten dropped a little bit in between.
Yeah, we kind of got multiple things the past couple of weeks, which is nice. And it was nice just for them to play with the, like, their, you know, I think I said I was watching with my brother who doesn't usually watch wrestling. So I got some takes from him and I said something about this match. He didn't, I guess I watched Dynamite with him. And he was like, kind of seems like tag teams like maybe shouldn't be in an event like that together. And not that they're a tag team, but like basically being like, yeah, if you're like in that event, like maybe don't do it with your friend. And I was like, so true, but they gotta. So
it's just how it works. Yeah, the Acclaim coming out was also very fun when everybody just like stopped to listen to the rap and it was good times.
Yeah, I did. And Hangman and John Silver were doing a little dance. We also got a little like back and forth between Swerve and Keith Lee, who were in different rings, so different little tournaments. But you could tell that the injuries of the past were returning to Keith Lee's mind. So I like that we're kind of dragging that one out.
Yeah, Swerve made like a little face at him, like, hey, no hard feelings. I'll just be over here. And Keith Lee was like, I'm not laughing. This isn't funny to me.
He's like, oh, there are actually a few hard feelings. okay, and so then on Dynamite, Mox and Brody had their match, which came, this is the last thing in what I would call a weirdly weird episode of Dynamite. So I was not paying very close attention, especially because, as we said, that the stakes were kind of low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, commentary was like talking Brody up a lot, which did sort of work because they were talking about how like how big and strong he is and what a big contender and how, you know, good a match this is and stuff. And like I did feel like that was like reasonably effective at making it seem like a little bit less silly or less like the outcome was predetermined or whatever. I guess it's the same thing as like Darby talking him up basically, but you know, at least everyone was trying to put in the work.
Yeah, I think it's like I think silly isn't how I felt, because I don't want to be mean to Brody King. Like, I think he's like nice and he looks big and it's not his fault. But it was just kind of like, due to the circumstances of the timing, there's like no way that you're going to win this in my mind. So, and again, it was just kind of a weird episode.
The energy was very weird the whole episode. It was just like everybody feels a little bit off. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it was funky.
It was like they'd had a big fight back in catering with the whole company, and then everyone had to come out, and they were like trying to bring like really like bring a lot of energy to it, even though we're all kind of stressed out right now.
Right. Yeah. It's like when your boss is like, and you know, remember, like, we can have these arguments in the meeting, but then we just set them aside. We set them aside when we leave the meeting. Like, I don't know. But Mox and Brody both seemed very into it. Mox did like one of his classic insane promos. Somehow, like tippier than ever. Like, he just was, it was a lot of beat poetry coursing through his veins.
His energy felt so weird. It felt very like, has Mox been like losing his mind for the past 6 weeks and now it's just kind of like tipped over? Like, I don't know. It's just,
I do think like the perma character of Mox is like, I'm always losing my mind, baby. That's my secret. I'm always losing my mind. And he did win, and he did win.
Yeah. Shocking.
Hey, and he won. I did say here, so obviously at some point CM Punk will return. I kind of keep forgetting that because I want to, but he will come back someday and they'll have their reunification match. I think a lot of people maybe think that's going to be at All Out. Do you think that's what people think?
The timing, that is, the timing seems about right. Like, that's long enough for Mox to hold the belt. And people kept saying that Punk's injury wasn't that bad. So it just, I think it feels right.
Yeah. But if, let's just assume, like, maybe that's around when we'll get our reunification and return to a different champion reign. Who do you want to see Mox wrestle while he has the belt?
Dark Luchasaurus.
Oh, interesting. Wow. Leah, pitch it to me. Like, how is Mox going to embroil himself in the Christian Cage saga?
Oh, I don't know that I didn't think through a feud so much. Like, I wasn't really thinking about that. I was just thinking, like, of how funny it is to me if, like, the Darth Vader music starts and, like, Luchasaurus, like, stomps out to the ring being like, I am the most evil dinosaur that's ever existed. And then Mox comes out being, like, in his little, like, I don't know, like, it just, the vibes of
the
that
contrast,
would be so different that it would crack me up the whole time. And Luchasaurus is such like a like stiff-armed brawler that like I just think the fight would be very fun. But
yeah.
I'll come back to you on booking how Christian would get involved.
No, I think that you could just do it pretty easily, actually, because if you have Christian be like, I'm going to be pitting my bulldog against everybody and trying to like collect some cred and some belts or whatever. Yeah. Easy.
It would be very funny to put both Christian and William Regal on commentary with with Excalibur for that match.
that would be
great.
A few
Excalibur
too many
would just be
unhinged voices. great. Yeah. Anne?
I was going to say Orange Cassidy, because weren't they supposed to fight before Mox
they
went
were,
to rehab?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
which
right.
I was very disappointed about at the time, so I'd really love it if we got back to that.
That's true. I'm not opposed to it. I'm a little unclear on what OC is going to be getting up to this summer, whether he's going to be getting into a
that makes it sound like,
feud.
Is he going to camp or like?
I haven't really arranged daycare for him yet. Yeah.
I don't know if OCU is going to be available for
I haven't decided whether he's going to be a latchkey kid or whether I'm going to send him away to fishing camp.
You know, if I don't send him away to fishing camp, then yes, he is welcome to come over and fight Mox. I agree that what I said was insane, and there's nothing I can do about that. I just was thinking about, like, will he be fighting Tony Nese for 3 months straight? But we'll
God
get into that
us.
Later. Well, we'll see who Mox does end up going up against. Let's talk about some other belt news. So Wardlow fought Scorpio Sky for the TNT title on Dynamite this week. This was a street fight. Can someone define a street fight for me?
I don't think any single one of the street fights that we've seen so far have been the same.
No.
So, no, I have no idea what it had to do with it.
I really thought they'd be, like, wearing, like, more street clothes and stuff, or it'd be, like, the parking lot brawl. But apparently it just means no rules, I guess. But, like, I don't know. I don't understand anything.
I guess different people take different tacks and have different interpretations. I agree that I had kind of associated it with, like, you show up in jeans and wild out and mm-hmm. go
hit
all
people
over
with
the
trash
place
cans and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. And you get into the you're climbing stuff you're not supposed to be climbing.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so I have become a conspiracy theorist about this, and I've not seen anyone else talking about it, which means I'm wrong.
Okay. No, it doesn't.
Not necessarily.
I
be
think
confident.
Scorpio Sky was still injured. I
yeah.
like
I would
match
believe that
was so short, and there were so few like actual spots, and it seemed like the top team guys were taking most of like the offense on with Wardlow. I'm like, I think he's still hurt. Like, I think they just wanted to get
that.
The belt on Wardlow.
I would fully believe that. They're like, we can't do another interim title holder
yeah.
on this belt.
Right.
So like, yeah. No. And didn't Tony tweet like after this match, he was like, oh, this match ended up being so short that like, I'm going to like throw in an acclaim match later or something like that. And it was like, huh.
Yeah. And I thought I assumed that was like planned, but
yeah.
The vibe definitely to me was like that they were like, we got to get it on Wardlow while he's still hot, so we can only wait so long for Scorpio mm-hmm. to be doing better with groin wise, and he's not there, so we just gotta do it. It was pretty, I thought it was a little bit underwhelming,
yeah.
And I guess it's like it wasn't. It made sense. I think like one of the recaps pointed this out. They were like, yeah, like Wardlow has been like, he's so powerful. They've built up his strength so that like, he is like winning hard matches like quicker than like maybe you would expect because he's so powerful. Like I don't even know what I'm saying. Like it's like it isn't bad narratively, but it also wasn't like that impressive to watch.
Yeah,
kind of.
I feel like most of my attention was on Wardlow's hair during the match. So
what? Right. If that match had been against Sammy, like when like Sammy first won the belt and like he had like a normal reign and then that match happened, I don't think I would be as weirded out by how short it was and like how unspectacular it was. But it is a level to which I'm like, Scorpio, both of Scorpio's reigns were so boring and like nothing really happened.
Yeah.
It's crazy that they put that belt on him while he was still associated with fucking Dan Lambert. I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of elements. I think there were a lot of elements that they couldn't control, but also the elements they could control, it kind of seems like botchy. Mm-hmm. And I felt like kind of bad for him. Like I was just like, oh, I think you deserve like a really fun reign. And this wasn't really it.
Right. I know. Well, yeah. And it's like the Dan Lambert stuff. It's like, even if it was fun, like it lighted the whole thing for it's like I'm not enjoying watching this, so yeah it's a bummer.
Let's talk about Wardlow's hair though, because it looks so stupid when he's fighting. He looks so cute when he's out of the ring, and some people have hair that looks cute out of the ring and in the ring in different ways. That's not the situation. Like we are entering, like it's like we need to call a meeting, like we have to take action.
And in those short matches, like where it doesn't necessarily come out, like it can hold together for a little longer. Yeah. Like it can be okay, but it was extra bad this time.
Who are we saying recently has hair ties that never come loose? We were recently talking about that and I can't think of who it is.
Oh, Mary said that she said it about El Fantasmo.
Oh, maybe he needs to talk to Wardlow, because the thing is that as long as it's tied back, it looks so cute. But when it gets loose and like starts flopping around his head like a fish, it's a problem.
Well, she would know better than me. But even in the in the demonstrative pictures that I saw of El Fantasmo, the hair still comes loose. It just doesn't. The tie never comes out.
Yeah. Well, then he's got to figure something out, because the flopping. The fish flopping is bad.
And like Bryan Danielson's had his hair do that too. And it looks like so silly when it ends up in like a little baby bam bam pigtail flopping around. Yeah. Like it's
but
the worst.
But when he takes the hair thing out, Bryan Danielson has a good cut where it falls in a certain way around his face. So he can't be in that in-between zone. It does look dumb. Yeah. But Wardlow, I've never seen with the hair tie fully out.
It still looks dumb. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's right. He needs to, I don't know what he needs to do, but there's something about the like undercut knit, like the short on the sides with the like really long bun that just like it leans toward flopping, you know?
Yeah. Look, we're not like, are we hair enthusiasts? Yes. Are we always hair experts? No, we don't always know exactly what you need to do. We can see the problem. Right. We don't know how to solve the problem. I'm just like worried that
he might
others...
look cute buzzed, just buzzed, you know? He might like.
Sure. With like a pattern in it, maybe.
Yeah. You know?
Maybe with a pattern in it. Yeah. So that, hey, okay. Yeah, you're right. We solved it. Patterned buzz cut.
You know, Wardlow, just go to your local hairdresser, you know, schedule a creative session with them. Ask their advice. Like, say you're an athlete, you know, you need to look cool while you're in motion and you're sweaty and wet.
There's a lot of famous.
See what they say. Take it to an expert.
Yeah, there's a lot of TikTok famous hairdressers. They'd love to work with another, like, content creator. Mm-hmm. So that could be a partnership opportunity.
Sounds like great advice. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys see for Wardlow's reign as champ? Or what do you want to see? What are you worried about? You know, whatever.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm worried about that picture that he took with FTR.
Yeah, I think we all are.
Yeah, we're all pretty worried about the influences he's fallen under here.
Yeah, so. He can't go back to that crowd. Yeah, I would say.
It was done such good storytelling. He can't fall under the influence of terrible storytellers. It's not
well, they're
what
not
I want
even,
for him.
I wouldn't call them storytellers, really. That's kind of the issue, is like they're not doing the work.
They're not doing the work.
This was interesting to me. So he took this picture with FTR where they were all like posing with their belts, and Dax FTR is like, you got it, War Dog. First of many beautiful belts for a beautiful boy, I believe was the exact tweet. And he had nobody with him at this match. Mm-hmm. And Scorpio Sky brought like 11 American top teamers. Like he had so many men. So it's just like Wardlow, like we're right. This is back at the, it actually was a piece of the Young Bucks storytelling was this question of like, who will come to the ring with you? Who will you go to the ring with? Mm-hmm. FTR didn't come to the ring for your championship match, but you still be posing with them in the, with the, with the belts. It's insulting to you.
It's insulting.
I don't know. It worries me. I've seen a few takes. Can we even get into this? It's so repulsive. I've seen a few takes on Twitter where people saw the picture of Wardlow and FTR and they were like, okay, this is the thing. We run back the pinnacle. We're doing the pinnacle again, but this time their faces and CM Punk is their leader. I'm going to lose my shit. I'll turn off the product. No, I won't, but it's going to be really close if that happens.
It's just very funny that, like, that sentence is, like, I know that that is some people's dream situation, and it could not be more calculated to be a not what we're interested in.
Yeah. It dries you up.
It dries us up. I mean, it traveled back, you know, 2 months ago. There were things that Punk could be doing that we'd be interested in. Like,
definitely.
He is capable of doing things that we're fans of. Wardlow absolutely is. But I'm like, if you put Punk, Wardlow, and FTR in a group together where they're just holding belts, I'll kill you.
We have a term for this in our friend group. It's called horn suck. Wait, just all the horny energy leaves the room because you dislike what's happening so much.
Yeah.
That one would be so bad too, because like they already, AEW does such a bad job when a face has a belt anyway of doing anything interesting. Yeah. So like those guys as faces with belts, like,
oh my God, because it would be, oh my God, because FTR are getting they're going to get the fucking belts off the Bucks. So FTR would have belts, Wardlow would have TNT belt, and CM Punk is going to have, this is about to be my hell. Wow, yeah, it's like kind of just hitting me right now that I'm like about to enter hell. No, it's like what's going to happen. Like that actually is going to happen.
Well, Wardlow could still remain interesting.
I don't know. I don't want to sound, I loved Wardlow's whole storyline with MJF. And I don't want to be someone who, I don't want to turn on faces when they get the success that they desire. But I do think that you have to keep developing the character. And Wardlow as a character had like such a clear problem, enslaved to MJF, and desire to be free of MJF. Once he is free, you have to learn what his desires are beyond that. That's right. Narratively, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. I would not say that that has happened that much. Like, he wanted to get the title, so I guess that's what was going on. But I still do have, like, my slight criticisms of the workers' rights storyline. And I think...
Is he still involved in a class action lawsuit? They didn't talk about that this week, right? Or last week?
Maybe he won it by pinning them all?
Yeah, that adds up.
Did he?
In this country, seems easily that could have been the solution. Ooh. I just am worried that it's like he can't stay at simply like I'm good Wardlow because I escaped MJF.
Right.
Yeah. Don't you have desires? Like, do you want to atone for your sins? Do you feel guilt about the things that you did under MJF's reign, and now you must find a way to like
that'd be good.
Work through them? Like, these are the questions that I would like to see Wardlow addressing, and I haven't seen it thus far. And if he never addresses them, then I don't think it'll be a very interesting title reign, personally.
No, it's definitely not real promising, like, especially since, you know, feeling like MJF was probably more the driver of the storyline than Wardlow. Although, prove me wrong, Wardlow, I'd love to see you develop. Hey,
do you tell me the story? It's just interesting because it's like there's some... It's interesting. I'm thinking like Mox as a face champ... I like don't really have these questions because Mox is, it's like he loves to fight. And that's the energy he's bringing to the fights. It's just that's like, true. I need to fight. I got to fight. When I'm in the ring, I feel alive. So all I want is to be in the ring. The champ belt is almost immaterial to me. Yeah. I want to keep it because I want to win when I fight.
Yeah.
It all just adds up. It's a simple character, but it's not ineffective. It is effective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's
the whole vibe that he's bringing. Yeah. Whereas Wardlow wanted to be free. But yeah, I don't. I mean, he takes pleasure in his power bombing, sure, but not.
Almost a little. Once he's not only powerbombing evil people, you start to think, are you taking too much pleasure in it? You can take pleasure in powerbombing an evil man that you shouldn't take in powerbombing a non-evil man, in my opinion.
But if Mox took pleasure, it would be a very pure animalistic pleasure that doesn't, wouldn't be problematic.
No, it'd be like, now you do me.
Yeah, right. It'd be like Cesaro, like, spinning someone around. It's like, yeah, everyone's just waiting their turn to get spun next, obviously.
That's really all I want to see on AEW TV, honestly, going forward. It's just everyone's lined up being like, when is my turn to get spun by Claudio? I don't know. I just think it'll be interesting. And we can get a little more into some of the FTR stuff potentially. So let's talk about what went on Dynamite. Keith Lee and Swerve fought the Butcher and the Blade. This was in Rochester, so it was both the Butcher and the Blade's hometown, right? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, a little hometown match for them.
They're from Buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah.
Damn it. Upstate, but they're all whatever. In New York.
Yeah, it's New York. It's close enough.
Yeah,
I love that.
I'm like, Mark, New York, just take that out. I'm about to get in so much trouble from someone I don't even know. Take it out.
People in Buffalo are mad. Like,
I think they almost always are.
They get so much snow.
That's what Daniel Garcia says. He says the streets of Buffalo.
The mean streets of Buffalo.
I've heard him say it.
Thank God.
If someone says it,
you know Danny Garcia has my back. You know Sweet Boy Daniel Garcia has my back.
That's like when Moxley's from the mean streets of Cincinnati. It's just like any mid-sized American city sounds silly when you put it in that construction. You
know, the thing is, it's just like if you feel mean on the streets, then I guess the streets are mean.
I know that I'm just like a mark, but like,
well, I was thinking like, just because you're mean on the street doesn't mean the street's mean. It's like all squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares.
You can make the street mean. Like wherever you go, there you are. When you are creating an atmosphere of meanness, I think I may be right about this, but I'm not.
The streets of Rancho Cucamonga. Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I know that, like, I'm like, I easily believe everybody, but I did listen to that AEW Unrestricted with Daniel Garcia, and he was like explaining to Aubrey. He was like, the thing is that, like, in Buffalo, you shouldn't walk alone, like, especially like at night. Just like call me or the Blade if you need to like walk somewhere, because like,
oh my God,
you shouldn't be on the street. I know this about Buffalo.
Is Buffalo where someone broke into the back of the Young Bucks car, like smashed the rear window?
Oh, I. No memory.
I'm just remembering from BTE.
I do remember that was cold, but...
I'm sure there's bad parts of Buffalo the same way. I'm sure there's bad parts of Cincinnati, but like...
Let me hit you with this one. Under the existential difficulties of late-stage capitalism, all streets are mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think in modernity, we're all disconnected, we're all isolated, we're all stewing in our own juices all the time.
The juices of cruelty. Unhappiness.
Yeah. All right, I think we came back to the bottom of it.
Pruning, brining.
Happy 4th of July.
Did not celebrate. Okay. Well, regardless, we had this match. Swerve and Lee won. Ricky and Will Hobbs came out to vamp at them and be like, again, we must renew our rivalry. I thought great energy from Ricky. I know we'd seen the promo before, but whenever I see Ricky kind of losing his mind, that's good for me.
Yeah.
And he lost it this time, I thought. Like, it, yeah.
Yeah, the part where he was like, you are not on my level. We are so many levels above you. Like, the manic energy in his voice when he was screaming that was absolutely perfect.
It was very funny, too, because Hobbs just started laughing, basically. And it, like, the energy worked with it. Like, it looked like he was just, you know, mm-hmm. laughing at how mean they were being, kind of. Like, it didn't look totally like breaking, but it was charming to me.
Yeah, it was, like, on the edge where he was kind of, you were like, you're enjoying, it makes sense for you to enjoy this in kayfabe, but also I really buy that you're extremely enjoying it as a genuine, real person, too.
Yeah.
Very fun. Ricky said something about, like, we're the best tag team at AEW, cue Young Bucks music. Young Bucks come out and are like, it's basically like, you told us to come out here because, of course, we're the best tag team at AEW. And then, well, what did the crowds in Rochester do?
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Well, they started chanting FDR, which they had been primed for, I believe. I mean, like, not that they wouldn't. They want it. Look, the people want it. We get it. The people want the FDR.
Disgusting fans of wrestling want FDR.
Everybody wants FDR. But I think that Dax had tweeted ahead of time being like, Rochester will chant for us. Like, FDR, 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 Rochester. They were all primed to chant, and they chanted. And
where's FTR from?
I don't know. Are they? They're not from Rochester, surely.
Surely no, not.
I don't have the
answer. I've just never thought about it because I try never to think about them.
I thought about it because I Googled FTR the other night and it said, like, where did FTR come from? And I was like, that's a crazy way to phrase it. Where did FTR come from?
They're billed from Asheville, North Carolina. That's
okay.
Right.
Well, they came from Asheville, North Carolina, apparently. But
where do they come from?
Did they come from? So everybody wants FTR to fight the Young Bucks. And the Young Bucks, like, Nick, like, jumped in and was just like, don't talk to me. I don't know. I don't remember what he said. But they set up this three-way match with Swerve and Keith Lee and Ricky and Will Hobbs. None of them have easy tag team names, which is a little annoying, but and the general feeling seems to be that the current Young Bucks plot line is that they are ducking FTR because FTR are number one in the rankings, but they don't want to fight them. But everybody wants them to fight FTR, and they're going to lose the belts to FTR at All Out. So this is just this, like, returning to this three-way tag thing is just like a waypoint on the way to the FTR win. What do you guys think about the whole kind of the whole deal?
I love it.
I think and you're an FTR girly, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that about you.
Her favorite tag teams, FTR and Roppongi Vice, are really
I would say that those are my faves, personal faves.
Yeah.
On the one hand, I'm glad that we'll have the whole summer because people kept saying the Bucks are going to lose the belts away. So I'm at least we get a Bucks summer. That's something.
Hot
before we're
summer.
Miserable.
I just am so unenthused about FTR. I get less enthused every week. While the rest of the internet gets more enthused, and it's just they always come across to me I don't know if you know people who are just too intense and too loud, and they're always yelling about something where you're no one's contradicting you. It's someone at a party where they're and no one can tell me I don't love my wife and my daughter, and you're no one is, man. Chill out.
One of the great, the only great and only joys of the pandemic is that I haven't been at a party like that in so long.
Something to be thankful for.
Yeah.
But every time Dax talks, that's how I feel. It's calm. Jeez. Okay.
It is true that their characters seem to be that they are always on the defensive about we love each other, we love our wives, we love wrestling, and we love America. Don't ever tell us we don't. And it is no one is saying that you don't. I'm just saying that maybe I want to know something else about you. What are you afraid of? And they're having a legacy.
Yeah. You're kind of everyone here loves wrestling, buddy.
We're here. That's why we're watching.
And on their social media, they seem to make jokes, but you never see that in AEW.
They were humorless.
Danhausen's tag partners, and they still didn't really relax.
No.
It's, yeah.
And to not relax around that little freak. That's troubling.
That's terminal. Yeah.
So what I realized this week, because I was just thinking, I was am I being a bitch about FTR and I'm refusing to give in to FTR? The answer is yes. I don't want to, and I've set my heart against them. I understand that. But I also was just it's true that FTR are not doing the things that we are on the record as saying that we are the most interested in wrestling. They are not interested in long-term storytelling, and they're not interested in showing you the moments of weakness and crisis and personal psychological issues that we are drawn to. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it's you can see that because they were heels under Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Again, it made no sense that they were working for him, honestly. The only reason would be you are solely motivated by money, which is fine for a heel in wrestling, but not very interesting. You want there to be another thing that's going on. And then they got upset about some stuff that he was doing, and then they stopped working for him. Mm-hmm. And then they were faces, and they never, and you can tell us listeners if I'm wrong about this, but they never did any promos where they were being I am torn. I'm experiencing uncertainty. What have we been doing? Has what we've been doing, has it been wrong? Like and honestly, like, rethink our lives.
Even imagine if there'd been like promos where like MJF was like talking to the Pinnacle about like how the big bad things they were doing, and you just had FTR like exchanging uncertain glances with each other. Like that would have been enough to like get me.
Which actually, thank you very much, Anne, is what I was thinking about, not to prop up the Young Bucks. It's okay that everybody doesn't love the Young Bucks the way that we do, but one of the things that I think the Young Bucks are really good at is that you don't have to give them a lot of screen time, and sometimes they'll do it really hammily, but they will do that. They will be like, okay, we're in this scene, and our characters aren't sure that we like what's going on. So we'll just look at each other, and you'll be able to tell that we're like, I don't like what's going on. Yeah. We'll talk about it later.
Even Brian Cage did this. It was the most interesting Brian Cage has ever been. But like, that's all, you know, that's
DMing.
Not,
that's DMing stuff.
Yep.
So that, it just makes it like really difficult to just be like, okay, their faces now and we all love them. But like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just there's nothing backing it up. I have no idea of what psychological journey they're on, what's motivating them besides
they love their wives.
Their wives are wrestling.
They love each other. They love America. Don't ever tell them they don't.
Okay? That obviously explains everything they've ever done. Yeah.
I won't bring it up.
And they're never funny. If they were ever funny, they could get away with some of this, but they're not. So
occasionally not on TV, I believe they are.
Well, sure, but I don't see them not on TV.
No, I see them on my Twitter timeline, but I'm just trying to give them a little credit because I've been pretty hard on them. But yeah, that's the problem I have. Hey, guys, that's a problem I have. And actually, I'm going to bring it up in the next section, too. So don't worry about that. Let's just quickly cover, though, the Bucks wrestled. Is the tag team called Chaos? Is that right?
No, Chaos is like the faction. But I think these two are
they wrestled Haruki Goto and Yoshihashi from Chaos on Rampage. This match was kind of like nothing, but like fun, you know?
Yeah. Well, like I mean, that, not to be like psychotic, but like the Bucks could wrestle literally anyone and we'd love it. So
they could wrestle a little rock. Hey, I'd love to watch.
Someone, I was just picturing like a tiny Dwayne Johnson.
Young Rock. That's what the show's
about,
right?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you know, the small child who plays the rock.
So much funnier than what I was thinking, where I'm like about to pitch a storyline where like they get enchanted and they think a rock is a wrestler. And
not enough enchantments on Dynamite, really.
Just Christian and Luchasaurus thus far.
True. That is a good one, though.
I guess we don't actually know what's going on there, but at this point, I'm assuming we're back. So, magic, pretty much. And so that was fine. But more importantly, on BTE this week, we had a little moment where Matt Jackson typed out a text to Hangman, which was like almost word for word, except for how it referred to the passage of time. The same as the text that he sent Hangman last year, being like, we love you. You're one of our best friends. This is so stupid. We can fix things between us. If you'll recall, what happened last year, never really explained very satisfyingly, was that Matt Hardy stole Hangman's phone out of a pumpkin and texted back, fuck you, our friendship is over. So that kind of didn't like fix things between them. But this time, Matt typed out the text, then deleted it, and then sat there looking beautiful. Brooding.
So beautiful. I also just really enjoy that BTE has a specific music for like emotional pain.
Yes.
And Brandon Cutler linked it. Like, it's just apparently some free song he found on YouTube and he linked it. And I will say that I listened to it like 4 times in a row. Like, had it in repeat and I was like, you know, it's a good song.
It's a great confession for the night. I love that very much. It does hit. Once you've seen it, once you've seen enough of these moving scenes, you hear that music and you're like, I'm going to sob my brains out to BTE right now. Why not?
Yeah.
Hey, life is short.
Right. It kicks in and you're like, oh, I'm about to be emotionally destroyed. Thank you.
Yeah.
This was an exhilarating moment because they have been kind of treading water on the storyline for quite a while. And BTE has been treading water a little bit. So it was very exciting to see some real emotional moments.
It has to mean that Kenny must be on the horizon.
All out. Kenny all out. Kenny for
Kenny
us.
All out.
Kenny all out.
Call
Kenny.
Out. Call out.
Hey, Kenny, take your time. Be safe. Feel good. Come back. Be here. All things can be true. You know, Taylor knows what's up.
She knows.
Yeah. I mean, like, I really would let them, I would let them take a long time. I don't think it's going to take that long at this point. I mean, who knows? I'd let them take a long time to make things really right with Hangman because it's so compelling to me to get it in dribs and drabs. But you want to see a little movement.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I just think we're in a place with the Bucks where we don't really like it. It feels like they themselves are like, we don't have clarity about what's coming down the pipeline.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense given like some of the injury stuff where like,
yeah,
I think they may have had thoughts about how they were going to handle things that didn't pan out potentially. Yeah. I don't know.
I do feel like it's one of those situations where a storyline drags a little bit because of injury complication or just things outside of people's control, which is
right.
Nature of the beast. But yeah, even when we were talking earlier when you had asked like who do we want Mox to fight, it's like, oh, who's left on the roster at this point? Like this summer, who's around to fight? Brody King, I guess.
I do feel like every other minute I just remember I'm like, I was just saying something later, we'll talk about Brian Danielson, and I just was like, right, out injured, like
such a bummer.
Everybody. Yeah. Anyway, so to me, this was beautiful. This was sensual. This was important. This was narratively satisfying. Yeah, like I'll be thinking about it. That's all I have to say about that. And the Bucks always give me something to think about.
Yeah.
And they never tell me, like, never forget that I love my wife. Because they just love them and they don't talk about it that much.
Just like normal people. Normal married people.
Okay, you guys want to talk about Christian?
Well, let's talk about Christian.
Y'all want to talk about Christian?
Bad, bad boy Christian.
Christian came out on Dynamite to cut another promo about being a very, very bad guy. But this time, for some reason, I guess because they're going to have a feud, I don't know why, he got interrupted by Matt Hardy. And they got into it about which of them has been more damaging to the young people of AEW, which of them is more of an attention whore. Like,
boys,
it was,
boys, you're both damaging. Yeah, you know? Like, you're both attention whore.
Yeah, it's like, no one is going to recover from what either of you have done here tonight. So don't worry about that. Probably the big thing about this promo ultimately was that Christian really got into the Jeff Hardy addiction stuff. So he brought it up a couple times. He brought it up in the context of being like, your brother is basically is a deadbeat and yet you're still the disappointment of the family. Like, he really went for it. Thoughts?
I didn't like it. And no. I feel like such a dumb sensey for how much I hated it.
I know.
But like, I really, like, I'm a new wrestling fan. I'd never met Jeff Hardy before. I don't have, like, the wrestling knowledge to know, like, his entire struggle. So I just uncomplicatedly liked Jeff Hardy. And then this happened, and it, like, sucked. And it was, like, I don't really know what to do about it, but whatever. And then it's, like, I don't really want to see it, like, as a joke. It really sucked. You should, like, it's, like, really, and it, I mean, I understand that there is a long tradition of using that in wrestling storylines, like, using personal details. Like, Darby's uncle's death was thrown in his face. What's his face from the Varsity Blondes? Brian Pillman. Yeah, his father's death. Luke Perry was just thrown, like, I get it, but it just feels really different because, like, I mean, Jeff Hardy's addiction was kind of like a joke, like at the beginning on BTE, like, haha, he would never relapse because we're making all these pee jokes. And then, like, now we're making it again. I don't know. It just felt different and it felt unpleasant.
It feels so recent and so ongoing. It's like he's lucky he hasn't killed anyone with all the DUIs. It's like really serious. And it happened like 2 weeks ago. So, like, I don't know that I'm ready to make it like a fun plot line.
Yeah, I think it's a little like time plus distance is a tragedy plus distance is comedy or whatever, but it does feel a little bit like it's an ongoing situation. Kind
of.
Like he's like literally suspended right now because he's doing, I guess is doing rehab. I don't know if we know that for sure, but like can't come back unless he does rehab. I think I didn't have like a strong emotional reaction, like it didn't feel like really crazy in my body about it, but that like logically I'm like, well, I maybe wouldn't, Christian is really going for like that again. It's that supervillain thing I said this week, that he's kind of like a Kingsman supervillain. Like, yeah, he's like got that kind of like comic book to live action vibe.
Yeah.
So I guess I can see why, and I can see why, like, he maybe was like, no, I gotta go crazy. I don't know that I think he had to go that crazy. Let's stick to talking about dead Luke Perry and how you want to fuck his wife.
Right.
Yeah. And I feel like there's a lot of mean things you could say to Matt Hardy that are not Jeff Hardy adjacent. Like, I can think of 10 off the top of my head. Just talk about his stupid hair or whatever. I don't know.
Right. Right. Like,
something don't a little need to more make intense, think maybe, about,
like, well, sure.
Right, you're like the worst thing you can say to a man. Hair is ugly. You're right. It's not good. It's bad.
I mean, talking about Matt Hardy's really inconsistent character is right. And like, I'm glad that they did make him talk about it. And I would have even let Christian make like one oblique joke where it's like, you know, you're in the running for the biggest attention whore in your family, which is saying something. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, sure.
One, yeah, like, right. Yeah. It was just that it kept coming back to it over mm-hmm. and over again as... Right. explicitly yeah. as he did was I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
I did like him, you know, kind of making fun of like the whole like Matt Hardy vibe when it was sort of like you'll sell out anybody and anything, like you'll whore out your kids, your wife, like anybody, like that stuff was like fine, like that was interesting enough, but
yeah,
you know, yeah.
This was another Matt Hardy's part of the promo where he was getting into like, yeah, I made mistakes here at AEW. I took advantage of like, you know, these kids and took their money and I feel bad about that. It was interesting to me because I was like, yeah, if you're going to be a face, you kind of got away with it when your brother was here. But actually, if we were being strict, what should have happened when your brother showed up was that's when you should have been doing some of these promos where he's mm-hmm. being like, what the fuck have you been doing here, man? Like, mm-hmm. this is crazy. And you're being like, I don't know. I missed you and I felt alone and I was hiring brothers so I could watch them be brothers. I don't know. You can say anything, but like,
yeah.
It was kind of like, yeah, you needed to say this now. And it is good to give us a glimpse into like your imagined psychology of Matt Hardy in this moment, if he's going to be a face against supervillain Christian. But actually, the time was then, and you didn't have to do that much, and you didn't have to have that many scenes where Matt Hardy is in a Matt Hardy moment and is like looking like, I am a little worried that maybe what I've set up here is not great.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's, again, it doesn't take that much time, and you should kind of be doing it consistently.
Yeah.
And some people are. That's all I'll say. Some people are.
No, at this point, like, it just felt really tacked on from him and then like not very genuine. And it just feels like this is dumb. This isn't working for me as a face turn.
It's interesting. I was willing to give it to him kind of in the moment because I thought he did look pretty genuinely sad. So. Mm-hmm. But I agree. Yeah. It still doesn't mean it was set up right. But I was like, yeah, you had to do it now. So it's good that right. you did it at all.
That's how I feel. Where it's like, yeah, it should have been done earlier. But I thought if you're going to do it now, that... Some of that from Matt Hardy was as good as it was gonna
It was
get.
The right angle to take if you had to find an angle to take that you should have found earlier. They said over and over again. But again, go back in time and do it earlier.
I didn't have to watch Matt Hardy at all, to be honest with you.
Well, good
I
luck
wish
with
he
that.
Wasn't I know.
Because we'll be seeing him. Hey,
can I
say something really repulsive?
Oh, Leah, like, please.
This is a safe space, right?
No, not really, but... Say it. So
I thought the
depends
like,
on what you say.
The greatest facial
oh,
hair.
Oh,
really,
Leah.
It was working.
Leah. That's even worse than what I thought you might say.
Wow, Leah.
His head hair was bad, but his facial hair, I thought it was pretty working for him.
How do you feel about his beady little eyes?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't compliment them.
You wouldn't compliment them. Okay. Well, great. You know, let's move on. I think we'd kind of have to move on from
that.
Yeah,
let's move on.
Again, as we know really clearly, the night we were in Rochester, so that was Brody Lee's hometown, that I'm correct about. Mm-hmm. So we did get a Dark Order segment with the remaining members of the Dark Order and Negative One, where they kind of scared us on purpose, but then we're like, the Dark Order isn't going anywhere, we're a family, we'll be here, we'll be together forever, whatever. And then we had a little thing where like QT Marshall came out and was being a bad heel, and then Hangman came out and everybody beat up QT Marshall together. It took a real team to deal with QT, but they did it. And Negative One cut like a little promo on QT being like, I'm going to come back and fight you when I'm 19. I liked the specificity of that. I didn't really understand it, but I enjoyed it. And it was sweet. I felt like it was like a little like the weird vibes of just like, oh, it sucks that there's been like kind of just like weird vibes around the Dark Order. And mm-hmm. I want you to have this nice moment, but it's not as uncomplicated as it could be.
Yeah. It was the third in-ring promo in a row. And like all three promos were like really different vibes. So it felt like really disjointed. And then it didn't really set anything up. It was just like, we're still here. These are the people that haven't been fired yet. Don't worry. We're still friends. Right. Here's a cute moment. Okay. Yeah. Bye.
Yeah. I know. It just ended up making me feel kind of bummed about the whole Dark Order situation where they've just like, they were so over like a year ago and then they've just been like kind of cast by the wayside and it's a bummer. Yeah.
Well, I think it's another moment where you think about like who, because they were in such a good storyline. They were in a great mm-hmm. storyline with Hangman. And it does at this point feel a little bit, I'm not trying to say it in a mean way, like I love them, but I'm like, who was driving the storyline?
Right.
It seems like it was Hangman. Hangman is a good storyteller and has good instincts. And that's okay. It's like, seems like it's good to like, if you're learning, like if you're with someone who's like good at driving a story, you need to be learning from it and you have to start thinking about how you're going to drive your own stories.
Right.
And I know that's rough for them. Cause like, I know that like they had a leader and it seems like probably Brody was like very was involved in driving. That was their driver. Like, and he was very charismatic and like really seemed to be bringing a lot of that to the table. So it's rough, but it is also kind of like, well, you got to decide what kind of storylines you want to try and.
Yeah. Have. I know that we have suggested this before. It's not the first time that we've suggested in this pod, but God, I wish that Wardlow joined this Dark Order. Yeah. It'd solve like both of their problems right now.
Yeah.
That's true.
He needs any friends who aren't FDR.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please God.
Because they're not going to teach him anything about friendship. And God knows someone has to. I think it would be good if Dark Order were like, maybe you shouldn't beat up security guards.
They could rehabilitate another person. Like, and it would be different from the Hangman thing because, like, he would just upfront join it. It wouldn't be like they'd be convincing him, but then they would just be like, you know, being like, we're actually just like nice to people and we like just touch each other's butts. Like, that's like an okay way to spend your time.
Yeah. And someone should touch Wardlow's butt consensually.
Yeah. Just begging for it.
I would love to see Wardlow like have a philosophical face to face with a security guard where he's like, I was right to powerbomb those security guards because I did it for my freedom. I was oppressed. And the security guard says, do you not think that I am oppressed? Do you think that I do not have a master whose chains I wish to throw off? We're all oppressed in late stage capitalism.
It's very weird that a company run by a billionaire isn't finding the right note on workers' rights.
You got a point there. Eddie Kingston came out on Dynamite to do a little in-ring interview with Tony Schiavone. He said congrats to Wardlow. He said congrats to his whole faction for winning at Blood and Guts. And then he said that he has an insatiable thirst for Chris Jericho's blood that has not been sated. And he must taste Chris Jericho's delicious blood. And he will taste Chris Jericho's delicious blood. And then we cut to Chris Jericho backstage with Ty Conti, who slammed Ruby Soho's arm in a car door as punishment to Eddie for wanting to drink his blood so bad. And so that is kind of still happening. Thoughts?
Eddie is kind of like, he's like Mox in that a lot of times his promos are also somewhat nonsense, but like he just sells it so much that you're just like, oh yeah, no, that was perfect. That he's just so charming when like he's just nonsensically being like, yeah, of course I want to drink Christian Jericho's blood. You're like, yeah, that's a tough guy thing to say.
He's rich, so it's probably delicious blood. He's eating so well.
And I love them doing stuff with Ruby and Eddie's friendship, and I'd like a lot more of that. Like, I'd love it if they were always teamed up and stuff, but if Eddie gets stuck feuding with Jericho for much longer, I'm just going to lose my mind, I think. So
it's been a while. It's been, like, maybe a year or two.
It's kind of a classic Chris Jericho storyline that just never ends.
I know.
Never
what people love is when you suck ends. It till it's a dry, lifeless husk.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we probably have a mixed tag in our future. And then there's got to be like a one-on-one between Eddie and Chris Jericho. And then maybe over. Maybe. Please.
Please be
maybe.
Done.
Hey, maybe.
Maybe Chris Jericho got injured. Okay. I don't wish it on anyone.
We don't wish it on him. We don't wish it on him. Maybe he'll he and Fozzy will be working on a new album.
Fozzy back on tour.
A really successful tour.
Send Fozzy. Hey, get out there. Go play, boys. It's summer camp time. Orange Cassidy's going to fishing camp. Jericho's going to Fozzy tour. All's right with the world.
This is like how I had a manager who used to say we'd have to have like cross training because like what if someone wins the lottery tomorrow and then they quit this job and we have to have someone to, instead of saying like what if they get hit by a bus or they get fired, which was sweet. I liked that energy.
That's nice. That's better. Mm-hmm. I was going to say something. Oh, I did think it was pretty funny that like the timing of the segment was such that Ruby was like really in that car door for a while being like, no, don't slam the door. And I'm like, well, no one's behind you. I really think you could back up and like kind of not get slammed in the door. And I don't blame her for that, but it was pretty funny.
I love Ruby and I think she's really, really good like speaking on the mic, but I will say her acting skills are often like just a little bit too hammy.
Still, she's in that Looney Tune.
Cartoon bug eye. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. Also in BCC Jazz News, Claudio is going to fight Jake Hager, demeaning, and Daniel Garcia cut the funniest little tough boy promo about how he is going to fight Yuta at the Ring of Honor show in late July, but he just kept kind of getting himself confused in the middle. Like he was like, it's like he would just forget that it was supposed to be violent and be like, what's between us is intimate. We've known each other. You know? And I'm mad at you, by the way. And we're going to have such a fun match. But again, I'm not happy with you. So cute. That's my baby.
Oh, boy.
Any thoughts? Move on.
Sarah. It's just very, very demeaning that Claudio's fighting Jake Hager. It's just like, really? This is... All right.
Jake Hager still goes here? Crazy. I'm sorry, yeah, absolutely Jake. Absolutely crazy. Go to... You know, don't you want to be an MMA? You don't like acting. You're not a theater boy.
Let's take him and American Top Team and just send them all back to MMA.
But he won't because we learned from listening to a little bit of Talk is Jericho, I learned that Chris Jericho is Jake Hager's biggest hype man. He's just like, Jake, my man, my guy, my number one boy. Jake, I want you to hop in and say something here. Jake, I can't wait to hear your dulcet tones on this story. You can't do it without Jake.
Sarah accidentally got ringside tickets for that Ring of Honor show. I'm
accidentally?
Not going. Yeah. She said she clicked a button and she was trying to like get the $30 seats and then she accidentally got the, like she was like.
A likely story.
I know. I think the woman was just like, I love a good seat. But no, she's like, so like, I'm like, that's the one match I'm like interested in. So I'm like, you have to remember everything about what goes down. Tell me about how the looks that they share. Are they going to be in the middle of the ring talking?
Can you ask her to report back too on FTR versus the Briscoes?
You said that in a weird tone. Are you horny for that?
Yeah, I'm like pretty intensely horny about it, obviously. The Briscoes hometown Delaware boys. Versus FTR,
your hometown boys.
Favorite tag team, as you know. And they're going to be doing some rich storytelling in that ring. Yeah, I want to hear about it.
When FTR was talking about fighting the Briscoes and I thought I was going to have to watch it, the sinking feeling I got, and then I was like, oh, on Ring of Honor. That's great. You guys can do whatever you want over there.
You guys do anything you want on Ring of Honor. Also this week on Dynamite, the Acclaimed got their last minute Dynamite match against, I didn't figure out what we're calling him, Bear Country and Rough Tum Tugger. Little rough boy. Hey, little rough boy.
It's rough in it, but like all of the options that you've listed here are so perfect.
I did like Rough Country Bear Boys. That was fun. So I think that they won, but Anthony Bowens was mad at, don't explain to me why, because we don't have time. Anthony Bowens was mad at the Gunn kids, and they all got in a fight, and Billy Gunn had a moment where it was like, who are you going to side with? Last week you sided with the Acclaimed, and this week he attacked Anthony Bowens, knocked him out.
While he was asking to scissor him,
All he wanted was to scissor me daddy ass. And Billy Gunn sided with his sons. I've written here repulsive. I do kind of feel that way. I'm just like, your kids need to grow up. You kicked them out of the nest last week. Let them grow on their own. It's time for you to have your midlife crisis marriage to the acclaimed.
Get a young, hot new wife. I know. It was, the pacing on this was absolutely insane. It's like, you just turned on them last week. Like, this is, how many twists do we need?
Like, it needed to breathe another week, and at least, if not, like a month.
I'm like, let him hang out with the acclaimed for a while. Yeah, all the summer of love.
The whole time that Orange Cassidy is at fishing camp, Billy Gunn and the acclaimed should be having a love affair.
I agree. And the gun club should be. They should have done that thing that kids do where they're like, we're gonna run away and then we'll see how you feel. But Billy Gunn never notices, and they're just living out of their suitcases down by the creek all summer long.
They're like the boxcar children. They're in a boxcar.
Exactly. Yeah. But they never learn about like how to put their milk on the cool rock to keep it cold.
No,
they're drinking sour milk.
They're absolutely drinking sour milk.
They're just like the cool thing about milk is like after you've had it for a while, you can eat it. It becomes a solid. Isn't that great? It's a liquid and a solid. It's a drink and a food. Anyway, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if we have anything else coming down the pipeline here, but I just want to be on the record. Billy Gunn, get that ass. Get that ass claimed, Billy Gunn. Have a summer of love.
They deserve it.
And then finally, for the night, pretty much, Toni Storm fought Nyla Rose on Rampage and won. But then there was some ringside violence with Marina Shafir, and Thunder Rosa came out to save Toni Storm. And Toni Storm and Thunder Rosa were like, we respect each other. And so then they became a pairing. This seems to potentially have kind of been driving the whole storyline. They became a pairing, so they're known as Thunderstorm. That is fun.
It's great. It's fun. I can see why you might want to make that happen, for sure.
Definitely.
You might want to put fully in a tiny bit more work to make it happen.
Maybe a few more promos, yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
I don't know. And this week on Dynamite, they fought Nyla and Marina, who don't have a smush name yet. So we maybe should have worked on that for them. Yeah, we'll think about that. But they came out with umbrellas. That's comedy. Nyla Rose is so fun.
She's so funny. Yeah, she's like the funniest person.
Thoughts?
Let me talk to you a little bit about Marina Shafir's energy.
Please.
Both in Rampage and in Dynamite. Okay. Marina Shafir has been training MMA. No friends. It's all she cares about. She does it. She's been doing that her entire life. She never learned how to be a friend, right?
You love a woman who's never known kindness. It's kind of the one story you tell.
It's my favorite story.
Well, that was a little savage take from Anne. Oh, Leah, back on that.
I'm not ashamed.
You're right.
She comes to wrestling. It's going to be the same thing. She's alone. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
Nyla comes backstage and is like, I need someone to help me fight Thunderstorm. Marina is giving her all. She's like, I found this friend. I'm going to do everything I can. She's hopping around the ringside. She's interfering. She's doing the energy is like, now that I have found this friend, I'll never lose her.
I'll never let her go.
I can't go back. I have a friend now.
That's really beautiful, Leah.
That is
your
beautiful
one story. I agree. I do think, in fairness, I'm like, that is the only story that I'm interested in, really. I want people to find friendship unexpectedly. Mm. I want them to feel love that they've never known before. I like that we've turned MMA, and I think this is right, into a villainous realm where friendship doesn't exist.
Mm-mm.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You're just training at the gym. You try to say like a polite, like, hey, how's it going to someone? Mm-hmm. Scowl at you. They say, get away from me.
Just glare. Yeah.
Kick you like a dog on the street.
Yeah. Right. Right. And then the contrast of Nyla being like, will you hold this umbrella? Yeah. Yeah. Marina's like, yeah, I've never held an umbrella with a friend before.
Marina looks at her. Her face changes.
I do think that Nyla has a perfect villain energy of like, she would just embroil you in her crime. Like, she's just like, hold this. I'm picking a lock or whatever. And next thing you know, you're just in her crew and you don't really know how it happened, but again,
driving,
you never know kindness.
Car? Yeah. Right.
I'm in a getaway car, the motel bar. Okay. I'm into it.
Yeah.
That's all we've got time for. We'll come back to some of these these tapas items next week because I think they'll stay relevant. Does that seem okay?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about our boys, but they're at summer camp fishing. So don't worry about
that. It's been so nice just seeing best friends together again. It really has been very soothing to me.
Warms the cockles.
I didn't realize that there was a low pulsing anxiety running through my life the last few months. Now I'll just find other places for it. But
yeah, the anxiety, don't worry. The anxiety is like a powerful river. It creates its own course. Yes. Block it one place. It'll go somewhere else. But
that's right. Yep.
Yeah, we like having our boys back in action. Okay. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
And this has been Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week.